This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas. Here's Matt Perrault.
Let's head to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Let's talk some UFC fighting with Chuck Mendenhall from MMAfighting.com on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Chuck, Matt Perrault, how are you?
What's happening, Matt?
I appreciate the time today. All right, so Michael Bisping calls it a career. The 39-year-old who is known will be remembered for his outstanding career and also his outstanding selling of fights, and that's why he's now on the broadcasting side of things. But after his knockout defeat in his last fight, was now the right time in your mind for him to walk away?
Yeah, you know, kind of.
Did we lose him?
Might be his swan song. Especially if he lost that fight. But it turns out that he's a stubborn guy, and I think that even losing that fight, I think he didn't want to think about it, and he wanted to immediately turn around and get that Gastelum fight. I never did like that fight on paper, going against a young guy like that, especially so far away, so quick after a submission, tap out like that. So I was a little surprised he even took that fight and went in for one more without reflection. But certainly after seeing that the last couple of fights, I thought it was time.
How much credit should Michael Bisping receive for growing the sport of mixed martial arts into the UK and to elevating the UFC into places like England and to get fans to come over to Las Vegas and for fans to follow the sport in the UK?
Oh, man, I think it was huge for him, especially at the time, because I think he was on the third season of The Ultimate Fighter, and, he had just kind of a camera presence that really made a lot of people, it rubbed people the wrong way. His early years were, spent between, the UK really adoring him, maybe the rest of the world kind of hating on him. He rode that line very perfectly, but, I think in his third UFC fight, he was still undefeated. He was already fighting in Manchester, and then they put him in London against Matt Hamill, and those were such big deals at the time. It made them like showcase guys like Rampage Jackson and Dan Henderson at UFC 75, and just bring the presence to the UK. And I thought that at the time, right in that boom era when UFC was really coming to life for people in the mainstream a little bit more, he was pivotal, and I felt like he kind of stayed that way, honestly, through the whole thing. There's a lot of fighters, if you talk to them, UK fighters, Dan Hardy, there's a kid named John Hathaway, a lot of those guys, just in talking to them, you realize that that Bisping had a major influence on them, just kind of coming up and everything. So it's really hard to quantify, and he was just that steady rock, that the UFC had for so many years that they could rely on out there.
His ability to work the microphone and to call guys out and to talk about some third rail type topics, talk about some things that got people, rubbed them the wrong way, but kind of playing the heel. How important was that for the UFC to have a guy who was willing to do that?
It was great, man, because if you look back to maybe UFC 100, especially at that time when he was getting ready to fight Dan Henderson, I think that was the most hated, one of the most hated. Maybe Tito, there was a couple of guys who might be able to compete with him, but he was really, really hated. And so he goes in there and he gets knocked out, and it becomes a celebration. They played that clip on a loop, him getting knocked out on, any kind of video package, and I felt like people talked about it. Dan Henderson years later told me, he said, people still come up in the street and thank him for that knockout. That's the kind of villain he was, So I think that it was great to, in the fight game, it's so funny. People can love you, but that doesn't translate always into pay-per-view buys or to success. They can hate you, maybe it doesn't. But when you have a nice, people have this, they want to see you either get crushed in there or they have a soft spot for you as an underdog or something. They'll tune in. He kind of carried all of that. And for whatever reason, that was a very, he was a very compelling combination of things. And he wasn't the greatest pay-per-view draw, but I feel like he was one of the bigger stars throughout his run.
For Bisping's legacy, for how he'll be remembered, how big was it for him to finally get a belt to hold that over his head back in 2016?
Oh, man. So cool, man. I mean, let's put it this way. When he was first coming up, he went through a few runs where he won several fights in a row, and he would start to get into contention. That Dan Henderson fight was another example of that. And he ends up, losing, and he loses spectacularly. He was in the same thing where he lost to Chael Sonnen, and a fight many people thought he won. So in a lot of ways, I remember even calling him the penultimate fighter because he was like second place. He would never get to that contention, to challenge for the belt. Mm-hmm. So it was very almost poetic, you know, that he sneaks in after. And if you recall, man, he had lost. I think he went on a 3-4 stretch before he went on a little run, and he got the call to fight Luke Rockhold for that title as a last second replacement. He goes in there, and I think most people thought like, oh, well, that's a smart move. It gives them a rematch. They can save the event, but nobody gave Bisping a chance. The cool thing was he was just getting a title shot. Hey, he earned that. That was his achievement award, for being around. So he gets that fight. He goes in there and gets the knockout, and I think that it was like maybe one of the more poetic outcomes you could have. You know, a guy who had been through so much, it was right there on one of the winningest fighters on the roster, always willing and everything, steps up short and gets that huge knockout and upset, and all of a sudden he's holding gold. And it took a long time, I mean maybe the whole time he held it, for people to wrap their minds around the fact that this guy was so resilient that he stuck around long enough to get that.
Let me ask you kind of an awkward question to change topics, Chuck. And this is, we're two guys talking about, and this question is about a female that I know it's a little bit of an awkward, but it's everywhere, and I have to ask it because I'm curious about it. But Paige VanZant decided that she wanted to get breast implants. She's been open. She told TMZ. She went and she did this. But people are saying that this is another example of her looking at her career outside of fighting, not inside of fighting, and that she really doesn't want to fight much anymore. She wants to be part of Dancing with the Stars, and she wants to go and do other reality TV shows, and she's looking at her career not as a fighter, but rather as someone else. Is that a fair interpretation as to what happened, or is this as people need to mind their own business?
Man, it's hard to mind your own business in a sport like this where, sex appeal obviously plays a big deal into the sport. And people don't like to talk about it, but it's true. It's even true of the male fighters in some cases.
Yep.
But with the female fighters, I think that it's absolutely true. Paige VanZant is one of these fighters who came up and they put a spotlight on her very young, 21 years old, little blonde girl. And I think that translated for a lot of people. Who is this? She doesn't look like a fighter. You know, she looks like a model or something like that. So the spotlight was always on her in this way. Now she's 24, and I think she's lost a couple fights in a row. And,
yep.
And it's not look. It hasn't been panning out for her. But she was one of the people that Reebok, which sponsored the entire league of the UFC, had specifically sponsored her. And it was a little bit of a contention because you're like, well, why is that? She's not winning, but they just consider her marketable. And then obviously there's some sex appeal. There's some crossover value for her, I guess you could say, that the UFC and Reebok wanted to get behind. So that kind of privilege, rubs some people the wrong way. But I do think that, just my gut feeling on it is because she's had she's already written a biography,
book, yeah.
An autobiography, like all the stuff she's been on Dance with. My guess is at 24 years old, she probably has realized to an extent she doesn't want to stay in this sport all that long, maybe long enough to get everything else set up for herself. But, whatever she's doing and outside of the octagon is probably with an eye on her future. And she has a lot of people, I think, some good people around her, too. And I think that they're probably feeding her, some inspiration that way, too, to kind of get things set up for the future.
And, I mean, look, Miesha Tate won a belt with breast implants. So it's not like you can't fight with them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's definitely one of those indications at 24 that maybe there's some other things that are taking a priority in her life over what's happening inside the octagon. I got about a minute left, Chuck. How big of a deal is ESPN's involvement now with the UFC? Big, I'm assuming, right?
It's big, man, because you know how it is. The worldwide leader, when they finally gets involved, there was a legitimacy, I think, that the UFC has always wanted to be a part of. They just wanted, at one point, I remember talking to Dana White, he just wanted to have MMA mentioned on the website, on the little bar. Yeah, he wanted just that, just to get that one. So internally for the UFC, just haven't talked to those guys for years. I know that it's a big deal, and from the outside, UFC showing up on ESPN and all the ESPN platforms, I think it's a pretty big deal, man, because so many people still to this day don't know what the sport is. And I think if you're a sports fan, you know what ESPN is. I think you're going to be familiar with the sport no matter what. You know what I mean? Just from turning on the TV now.
Totally, completely agree with that. Chuck, great stuff. Really appreciate the time today.
All right, man.
That
Take care.
Chuck Mendenhall, MMAfighting.com, great site for SB Nation covering the UFC on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Look, I think that they're, we talked about this a lot. The UFC and ESPN, it's a big darn deal. And the ESPN Plus, we'll get into it at some point in the future about the money and how does this benefit the fighters. We don't know yet because we don't know what the UFC is planning. So it's a little premature and unfair to bring up the dollar saying, okay, $1.5 billion going for 5 years for the rights for the UFC to ESPN. What do you give to the fighters? Well, we could see purses increase. I hope we see purses increase. I hope we see some type of, you know, health benefits beyond what's already there for the fighters who get hurt not during competition, but who get hurt during training for competition. So that and more. More to come. Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio.